With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com,
powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the book, still two to go. The big shows, we're rolling along. We were talking some Rockets after we got some draft coverage out of the way with Lance Zierlein. If you missed anything in the first hour or any hour of the show, you can always go to ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab. You can get the hours that you missed. And while you're there, you can download the app and then take us anywhere, everywhere, and never have an issue with anything other than getting every minute of the day on ESPN975.
Nicholas, did you bring your... Did you bring your wallet?
I knew you were going to bring it up, but I really didn't.
Your wallet,
I didn't want to talk about this. I don't want to give any more context.
You didn't want to talk about it. You owe me $5.
No, we're not going to. I mean, why do I? Let's not talk about this.
Whenever he goes Nicholas like that,
I knew right when
he
said Nicholas.
There was something going on.
Joel, Nicholas owes me $5.
I'll just
pay
the
$5.
Barry,
my inquisitive mind wants to know why. Does
so
Nick owe you
$5? Can bring me the $5 right now. Because he told me in the parking lot after the game, I'm not paying you.
Oh.
So he bet me. He wanted to bet $100, and I said no. And you're welcome. Because you would be out $100.
So may I the question again? What is the bet for?
Nicholas?
I love how he brings it up and wants me to explain the story. That's not how it works, sir.
You're the one that created the bet and offered it to me, and then I took it.
I think you took the details of the bet and you altered them a little bit.
You gave it
a deadline that never existed.
You made the bet and the deadlines. Basically, Joel, mm-hmm. without throwing my man completely under the bus.
Sure.
He made a bet that there are people at the games that he has annoyed in the past, pretty recently, okay? Mm-hmm. He made a bet with me that he could get one of those persons to give him a hug before the night was out. Like, watch, I can turn this around. I'll get a hug before the night's out. And I was like, no way. He said, bet me $100. I was like, that's too much money for this. I said, I'll bet you $5. He goes, done.
Now, I think I know where this was going, at least in one direction. I'm not going to go to explore it any further, but since there were multiples, you had to feel pretty confident about this.
I did feel pretty confident.
Oh,
and then
you were cocky.
That very person that I told Barry I'd be able to get a hug from was mean mugging me the entire night.
If a look could kill she or he.
That's why I didn't want to talk about it. This is why I didn't want to.
Whoops! That
murdered
slipped.
His soul. Just, ah! Like she or he would walk past him and just destroy his face.
Oh, I think someone's going to get in on this.
Yeah, I don't care. What is this about?
I wanted to tell you that you're on the backlog for Nick paying off because Nick owes me $100.
What does he owe you $100 for?
Nick, when we went to Dallas, he was showing me pictures of some girl from Instagram.
Oh, no.
And he bet me $100 that she was going to come down here and visit him.
Oh, no.
And he was going to make it happen.
He was going to bang her?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and then, boy. Boy, you talk about confidence in your penis.
I said, don't trip on your own unit.
I said, well, how long?
He got cocky.
How long is this going to take?
See what you did there.
And he was like, 6 weeks. Within the next 6 weeks.
How long ago was that, AJ?
When did we go to Dallas? I mean, it's been at least 6 weeks.
March,
but
right?
Here's the deal. About 4 weeks in, Nick comes in my office. He's like, hey, that thing might not work out now because I met some other girl.
Nick, out here, but
I still feel like that the $100 thing should still stand.
Did he approach? Yep. Now, look, AJ, did you go to him and be like, AJ, I'll bet you, or no, Nick, I'll bet you $100 you can't bang this chick on Instagram.
The $100 thing came from Nick. You. He opened up with, and that's where he opened the bidding at.
Exactly.
$100.
That's what he did with me. I didn't approach him and be like, I bet you can't get her or him hug you.
Nick is like my 6-year-old who doesn't really have a concept of what $100 is, so anytime he thinks he's right, he says, I'll bet you $100. And he doesn't have $100. He's just like, but that's just the number. I bet you $100. I bet you $1,000,000. That's Nick.
Nick's just out here writing 6-year-old checks his ass
yeah,
cash.
It's like, two friend, $100 doll hairs.
I owe you. I owe you.
Oh, so I feel like I'll get my 5 before you'll get your 100, AJ. I feel more confident. That's why I lowered it, too, because I was like, you know, if it's 100, he's never going to pay me.
Right.
But if I make it $5, he'll give me $5.
Yeah.
I'll give you a couple Diet Cokes.
I was just going to say, not the vending machine issues with you could be solved because Nick would actually have to go down and get them
and
for
I
you.
Told him I didn't want a $5 bill. I want 5 crispy vending machine ready $1 bills. That's what I want to be paid. And he didn't help his own cause during post-game.
What did I do? I don't even remember.
He didn't help his own cause during post-game because this sir and or ma'am.
Oh, you already dropped that one.
No, I said both. I didn't say whether this was a dude or a chick.
Okay.
This person wanted to ask a question. And Nick wanted to ask a question. And they both had a microphone. And you know how they'll have two mics in the room, and the like Tamara and her staff do a great job, and they'll point, okay, this person, and then this person, and then this person. So they give Nick a microphone, and then they give the person that he's supposed to be getting a hug from a microphone, and then that person was next. Nick didn't care. They finished. I think it was Harden finishes answering his question and looks around for next question. And that person's mouth open, and Nick goes, so in your – you
whoa,
had-
whoa.
He definitely lied on that
You
one.
Cut her, him off.
No.
Here we go.
Golly. Now we've established whether or not
you
the person is a male or a female. No, you did.
You definitely cut them off.
First of all
– oh, what?
That person did not have a microphone in
I
that
think they were
hand.
Next. I think they were next.
No, they weren't. I was.
I think
the person, I promise you, I was in line first. That media member was just mad that I got the question before.
Oh, they did.
Exactly.
Oh.
That's what happened.
I don't think that's true.
So that person just looks up at me.
Because proper etiquette would be ladies first, right?
Or men.
No, right. not in the press conference.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Not true at all.
Excuse me.
So were there multiple opportunities to win this bet, or was there just one focus?
Dude, she...
He, oh, what, yeah. them?
At this point, we know. Every time she walked past me, asked Barry.
God bless.
I felt like it was Cyclops looking at me, just...
It was like if I swear to you, I was like, Nick, she just looked right through your soul. Like, she didn't even look at you. She didn't look around you. She pierced your soul and probably in her mind was just ripping it to shreds.
She's sitting up front,
like,
Joel.
Peed on it and stomped on it.
And she's got her laptop on her lap.
Uh-huh.
And realizes that I'm getting the question first.
Mm-hmm.
She looks up into the corner at me with those mean ass eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Looks back down at her laptop and just shakes her head. And it was just everybody in that room I felt like knew.
And I saw it.
She hates me.
And the only thing
like
in my
everybody.
Mind. Like, I saw that. I saw him ask, and then I happened to see her. And then the only thing in my mind, cha-ching.
I was going to say, because the bet was made way before that, right?
Oh, wait, way before that.
And then
the bet
like
was made when we were eating dinner before the game started. He had a full NBA basketball game plus post-game.
But was this the only opportunity, or did you know that there were multiples you guys had discussed?
We saw her like five, six, seven.
No.
I'm going to say, is this the one individual, or were there other individuals?
No, this was just one individual. Okay. That was all it was. I was trying to.
Yeah, because I thought there were multiple choices. I'm not getting that one, but at least I got a chance over here.
No, he one shot. It was mom's spaghetti. This is it. Do or die. He was like, I got this. $100. I was like, bro, that's a little steep. I'll do five. He was like, got it. Five. Easy money. And then he did nothing right to get that hug. It was almost like he was sabotaging himself. I was dying laughing. Nick cracks me up at these things, man.
We can tie this back to the Lance Zierlein Dell thing. You can still fix this. You just got to go out.
You still owe me $5, just bitch. Like, don't even
just,
try it.
Just I'll like, owe you. Just like Lance did with Dell, even though it didn't work. If you go out and buy a pair of shoes, you might be in.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
See?
Yeah.
You could still rectify this. I don't know about the bet, but you
then
can still rectify this.
Then it would come off as creepy. Then, Dell doesn't look at Lance and go, he's desperate and he's trying to sleep with me?
Oh, God. It's not going that far. That,
Dell's not thinking that. I wouldn't do that.
No, I'm not. I'm not doing that.
Maybe a gift certificate to like Lashes, et cetera, or something.
I do.
I thought about that too.
I don't like it when people like absolutely hate me, but at the same time, I don't care that much.
Oh, I know.
So I do. I am kind of.
I absolutely hate you, and well, it doesn't bother you.
No,
at
yeah,
all.
You're an exception. You and Lamont, I can't stand you.
Oh, you're just gonna lump me in there with it. Just lumping us in, huh?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
You like to throw your boy under the bus on the air every day.
I mean, that's just what happened.
Now, what about the AJ one?
AJ
because you don't care
in,
if people hate you,
under the bus? You
but you obviously got someone
the,
that
the deal about
you.
AJ is that I went back and I was like, look, bro, I got something better.
It doesn't matter. You made the bet. You made the bet.
I don't know if I used that number, though, $100.
AJ you used maybe. It with me over a hug.
Were you sober?
I'm going to guess no.
Because if you weren't, then there's a pretty good chance.
Last night he was sober, but I'm going to guess with AJ, right. He was like, look at this.
I don't think so.
That. I can hit that.
Because I was at the airport.
$100.
And usually I'm drinking at the airport.
So that's what I was going to say. So now you're kind of in no man's land because you really don't have any kind of backup to say, no, I would never have said that. Because if you're drunk, you don't know.
Well, does the bet count if you're on liquid confidence? Like you can't.
Absolutely, you can't hold that.
No, it doesn't. He should be a good friend and say, hey.
See, that's
you were
where,
a little tipsy when you made this bet, sir. Men, you don't have to pay. Don't worry about it.
Men and money.
You're a good guy, Nick. Don't worry about it.
He should be a good friend and be like, hey, let's not do 100. Let's do 5. And then you would still go back on it because you just told me in the parking lot after the game. And I was like, well, partner, looks like you owe me $5. His exact words. I'm not paying you.
Y'all are both changing the deadline. By the way, my deadline for that bet hasn't even passed yet, just so you know.
Okay. When did y'all go to the fight?
It was like 2 to 3 months is what I told him. I was like,
no, you said 6 weeks. Said
I absolutely did not say 6 weeks.
That's according to him. You said 6 weeks.
But no. We went in March to the fight, right? Is that when that was?
Yes.
I think
the
that
Mikey
was
Garcia
right.
Fight.
Yeah, yeah, went, yeah, not yeah. me. Why are you asking me?
That's what I'm
me?
Saying, because I'm trying to pinpoint when it was to get a window of opportunity here. Because I thought you had comedy, so you couldn't make it, so you would have known when you were on the road, too.
Well, now I got to go back and look at my schedule.
No, I'm about to find it for you right now. It was March 16th.
There you go, mid-March. So April, May.
I've got until the middle
of
May.
Until like May 15th. Okay.
Nope, you have until Saturday. That'll be 6 weeks.
Well, if you go 6 weeks, yeah, then it's a tighter window.
AJ said you said 6 weeks.
I don't believe anything
AJ
said.
You have until Saturday to get this chick down here and have sex with her. And then have proof.
I'm never telling you guys anything.
You got to do like a selfie with her in bed.
You made bets, and I didn't. I'm a peaceful.
I love
you're
AJ's
loving
analogy.
Every minute of this.
No,
Bill.
I'm not. I'm just observing.
I love AJ's analogy. He's like my kid. He doesn't understand the concept
of $1,000,000. I was like, you a hole.
It's so true. Anytime, like it's like, oh, I'll bet you $100. It's like, no, bro. It was just like a figure of speech.
I'm gonna do that every time we hang out
right now.
It's like whenever, yeah. It's same thing, same concept. Like when Taylor goes. Daddy, I want this. I'm like, are you going to buy that? She goes, yep. I go, with what money? I got money. Do you? Really? I'd like to see
Don't
it.
Ask Uncle Nick. He squandered all his money in bets.
Millions. All right. So we got that going. Or you got that going for you, Nick, which is nice. You can still pay Barry the $5.
Yeah.
And there's still time to salvage the hundo.
Today.
But the clock is ticking. Forget the clock ticking on the draft. The clock is ticking on the bet. All right, we'll continue to roll on. It is the usual suspects. It is ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number two, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We have already covered the fact that it is draft night for the first round this evening. The Rockets won last night against the Jazz. The Warriors lost, and we still have Astros to get to, fellas. As the Astros rode another hot start from Justin Verlander. He's almost, I was going to say, the only blemish is he's pretty much good for one dinger a game that he's going to give up. But other than that, 4-0, sub-3 ERA, and for a guy that was trying to add another pitch to the repertoire with a changeup, he's looked pretty darn good.
Well, finally got through three innings without giving up a run from this pitching staff. So that's a positive sign. Yeah, I mean, not much to say. Good, solid win against a decent team. I mean, the Twins,
came in playing good baseball.
Yeah. So, I mean, good for them. Back in first place out of all the stuff that happened with the Rangers, and they're
right back where they should be. Going oppo last night.
Crazy. That dude's average right now is .386.
Isn't that nuts?
Ridiculous.
An opposite field home run. I mean, everybody puts the shift on with him and everything like that. It's rare that he's going to go the other way, let alone the other way with pop. But he squared it up, put the barrel on it, and put it over into the Crawford boxes last night.
All this offense from the Astros, and Altuve is hitting .277.
But he's also one of the league leaders in home runs in the American League. People would never have thought that based on how slow he got off to a power start last year. I don't know when he. I think last year was like at midseason before he got to like 9.
Yeah, his numbers across the board are down, other than his power numbers. But like his average and stuff like that, so that's going to be a scary proposition, I think. Once he starts hitting for average again, and he will, he's a 300 hitter. That's what he does. I mean, it's like Tony Gwynn. You just know he's going to hit 300. It's like Paul Molitor. That's what they're going to do. So,
and Michael Brantley,
yeah,
he's been a nice addition. Great in the outfield, but also even better showing that pop in the middle of the lineup. And Correa looks better. Obviously, he's healthy. But a home run from him last night is a good sign.
Yep.
So they got the Indians in town tonight for a big matchup for a lot of reasons. Good pitching matchup tonight, and for more reasons than one. The former college teammates who aren't big fans of one another are going to go at it again. Gerrit Cole, Trevor Bauer. We all know that Bregman has gotten into it with Trevor Bauer on Twitter, and Trevor Bauer's had lots to say about the spin rates and the fact that he thinks the Astros pitchers are cheating. Well, lo and behold, tonight at the Juice Box, he's going to take on the Strohs and his ex-college teammate, Gerrit Cole. That should be an interesting one to watch.
Cole talked about his last outing against the Rangers,
which was awful.
And he mentioned that he felt like he was tipping pitches. So hopefully he gets that figured out. But I'm looking forward to this game because of what you said, this rivalry between these two guys. Plus, you throw Bregman in the mix, calling him Tyler Bauer, and it should be a fun game to watch.
And he criticized the Astros and their quote unquote spin rate, saying he thought they were cheating, and obviously that got under the skin a little bit of all the Astros pitchers, as well as I'm sure Brent Strom took notice. So I'm sure there'll be a little extra heat going on in terms of things coming out of the dugout and people keeping an eye on these two guys tonight. Should be a fun matchup for a Thursday night.
Astros are going to have their work cut out for them because Trevor Bauer
pitching his tail off, he's come out and I told you guys about that article that I read that they did on him before the season about he's totally fine with signing one-year contracts every year for the rest of his career. And if he bounces around from team to team every year, he's good with that too. But he will bet on himself, and he is one of those weird science-like driven pitchers that is constantly looking for that advantage, and he's going to really focus on everything he needs to do. But you're right. Whether it's because it's a contract year or not, he is pitching his tail off.
Yeah.
So it should be fun to watch.
This could be a low-scoring affair. I think a lot of people look at these two offenses and think, oh, yeah, those are both teams that can put up numbers. You know, those are teams you expect. But one, this is a really good pitching matchup. And two, these are two teams that don't give up a lot of runs. I mean, the Indians actually, through this point, through 23 games, have given up 89 runs. Astros have played 24 games and given up 92. So two really good pitching staffs that do a good job, of, for the most part, of suppressing the other team's offense. So I expect tonight to be kind of a low-scoring game, if I'm being honest.
Well, I would think, you know, as long as, like you said, as long as Cole figures out if he was tipping pitches or not, I think that's a pretty safe bet. So that should be good to see. Thursday night baseball is always good because they've had a lot of Thursday nights off on travel days recently. Right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
We'll see how that goes.
Hey, by the way, we'll do a giveaway coming up a little later for Dynamo tickets. So hang in if you're a Dynamo fan or you haven't been and checked out a game, which you should do. But we'll have some tickets to give away a little later on in the show. So stick around for that. There was a story that came out. Well, first of all, I want to get to this story about a man sleeping in his ex's attic.
Okay.
Pretty crazy stuff. But did you see they painted over the beast on one sign?
No.
Yeah, that railroad trestle that goes across the freeway where it's iconic in this city now. Yep. The beast on one sign.
Yep.
Well, some a-hole, some, as Fred Fowler would say, some dickweed, some jerk, went and painted over the whole thing. And I don't know why you would do that. Like, unless you're just wanting to be an a-hole and make a name for yourself, why would you go and do that? So there was, now this is prompting people to say, well, one, the artist that originally did the Be Someone still hasn't come forward and claimed it, but they know, like, somebody knows who he is, so they'll talk to him. And he's like, yeah, it's one of those things I never want to come forward and get in trouble for, but I'm proud of it, and I'm glad that the city's embraced it. But now there's discussions of, do they go to the city council and say, hey, we need to protect this. This is a part of our culture now.
I think they kind of already do because it's been vandalized multiple times.
Yeah, this isn't the first time this has happened. And I don't think they, in the past, they've covered up the entire thing. They've altered it to say different things or whatever.
This whole thing, they blacked it out.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
It even was, according to 13, that it was the graffiti has been changed to honor Mattress Mac in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
What are the chances by tomorrow morning Catherine Whaley takes a selfie with it? While she tells everybody that it's because it's traffic related, so she could tie the whole thing up with a selfie and the tragedy that is what's going on with the beast.
Wondering though, so now when is it going to be put back? Because you know people are keeping an eye on that now. That can't be easy to get done with traffic always on
the
freeway.
One of the things that always mesmerizes me. You see some phenomenal graffiti artists too, but some of the places that they are able to get graffiti done, and you're like, are they doing it like 3 a.m? Are they doing it with flashlights? That's like you said, and it's dangerous because you got to be either you're one hell of a balancing upside down paint spray painter,
yeah,
or you are hanging on the edge of falling down on 45 to get that thing done.
I would imagine they're using the same, and I don't know this for a fact, but they're using the same equipment that you would use, that window washers use, like when they go really high.
But wouldn't you be called out?
You're in the
freeway. People can see you, yeah.
It's over 45.
Yeah, but the window washers, they go up like 20, 30, 40, 50.
It starts at the ground, though.
Or
like,
at
you
the
have
roof.
To anchor that stuff. Yeah, no, it's still, you need to, like, the ropes drop down. There's no way that they would.
You know, you've done that. You know that. You know about
some
that stuff?
Some of the
about window
washers?
I've worked in buildings where they've done it.
No, I'm talking about that particular machine.
Oh, yeah. They still.
You know how
they,
that works?
They still anchor them on the ground. They still have ropes and stuff that are on the ground. So you would have stuff hanging, at least, at the very least, if it's not touching the freeway, it's going to be hanging off the bridge.
I would That's agree with that, but true. There's no way they're doing that and stopping 59ers just to do that. There's a way to be up there and paint it without having
you
to
use
stop.
Use scaffolding from the top side.
They're
go
hanging
down.
Somehow.
That's what I'm saying. There's probably some sort of rope or something like that where they just tie themselves off. And hang over it.
Well, you know how they do rock climbing? Someone's on top holding it, and then you just kind of dangle down.
I don't know, but my point is it's got to be hard to get away with. You have to do it a little at a time,
and people see you.
Yeah, and because you know people are gonna drive by, and if you just get the B done in one night, now it just says B,
and you've tipped off that hey, we're working on this. Yep. This is what we're doing. So
interesting stuff.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see if they can figure that out. Otherwise, someone's going to have to come forward and go, look, if you really think it's an icon piece now, let me do it again
just leave
without
it alone.
Punishment.
Just leave it alone. There was a petition on change.org to make it a protected landmark. How old is the petition?
Why would someone want to paint over it?
So they tried this before and got 30,000 signatures. And now they're trying it again to get 35,000 signatures, and it's up to 27,326 have signed it to get 35,000. But the Beast on One Street art painting on the railway is a treasure to everyone. Over the last year and a half, Beast on One art has been defaced and left to other graffiti artists to fix to the best of their abilities. So they want to get Beast on One that was painted in 2012. Many people already view this as a Houston landmark, but it lacks the official approval and protection of the city of Houston. So that's what the petition is for.
Why would someone want to paint over it? I just don't understand that.
I really don't know. I think people just want to be jerks.
Yeah, what's got the ire of you that you want to paint over be someone?
It's more embarrassing if they're an adult. Like, if they're a kid, I'm not giving them an excuse, but kids do stupid stuff like that. They vandalize. But if you're a full-grown adult and you're just...
They make bets.
And you're doing that, that's kind of embarrassing in my opinion. But that's just me.
I get it. All right.
I'm tweeting it out right now, the link to the petition. So yeah, sure, they still need... Yeah, they still need about 8,000 more signatures or so. So I'm going to tweet it out at Barry is funny if you want to have a chance, or if you want to sign the petition. And then, I don't know, it doesn't necessarily guarantee that they're going to get it done, but hey, it's worth a shot. You know what else is worth it? The Houston Dynamo, and going and checking them out. They're after their best start in club history. It's a fun team to watch, man. You got Albert Elise and Memo Rodriguez, both really exciting players doing a lot in the MLS themselves. Memo Rodriguez is actually a Houstonian from Houston, and he's among the league leaders in goal scorers. Albert Elise is like one of the most dynamic soccer players right now in the MLS. La Pantherita is what they call him, the Panther. A lot of fun to watch. He's exciting. He's fast-paced. And his skill set is off the chart. So you need to check that out. Joe Willis, Dynamo goalkeeper, among the league leaders as well. And what's cool about the Dynamo is they're not just out there playing soccer. They're actually making a difference in our community. They've teamed up with MD Anderson, and they've created a partnership that goes just beyond a logo on the jersey. It goes just beyond an advertising deal. They're teaming up with one goal, and that is to end cancer. So all season long, when you buy tickets from the Dynamo, a portion of those sales will benefit the MD Anderson Cancer Center. In fact, coming up April 27th, go ahead and get your tickets, HoustonDynamo.com, and be one of the first 5,000 fans through the doors, and you'll get a Houston Dynamo in cancer scarf, courtesy of the Houston Dynamo and MD Anderson Cancer Center. It's that cool. They're taking on the Columbus Crew this Saturday, April 27th, so make sure you go check it out. If you've never been to a Dynamo game, if you've never been to BBVA Compass Stadium, you need to go check it out. It's a lot of fun. It's a great experience. It's a beautiful stadium. And the Dynamo, they're a reflection of our city. They really are. Like, they're young, they're energetic, they're exciting, they're hardworking, everything that encompasses what we are in Houston as well. So go out there and support the guys. Go out there and support the team, and go check it out. You're going to have a great time. Take the family. I promise you. It's a great time. For more information and tickets, go to HoustonDynamo.com. That's HoustonDynamo.com.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books. 90 still to go of the big show. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Thursday in the big city. Draft night tonight, as we all know. Covering a lot of the headlines so far in the day. Rockets win, Warriors lose, Astros win. So covering all that ground along the way.
Did you happen to watch the Warriors-Clippers game last night? Mm-hmm. It was interesting. There were moments where you could see that none of the Clippers were intimidated. And I think Pat Beverly getting into it with Draymond Green. And Pat Beverly, you say what you want, but that dude is the heart and soul of that team.
Oh, for sure.
He's never going to be a great scorer or even necessarily a good scorer. He'll knock down a three-pointer every now and then. But just his determination and his scrappiness is really a lot of fuel for that Clippers team. And it's going to be interesting. If I don't remember which one of y'all brought it up, but if they go out and get a superstar or two on that team, they've got some depth that they could really make some hay in the West. if they added an elite scorer, an elite player on that team to complement Lou Williams, who it's getting to the point where almost have to say Lou Williams is almost an elite scorer in the league. Like he's unbelievable.
He has been an elite. He's just one of the best kept secrets in the league. And with Jamal Crawford getting older now, and they used to always say he was the best six man year after year, they should just give him the award. You should just hand that crown over to Lou Williams because he's just fantastic. And the Warriors have no answer for him. But the thing was funny. You mentioned this. The Warriors down 10 at the half. The Warriors kept whittling it away, coming back. They made their comeback when they put Klay Thompson on Williams. And the bigger size, and obviously Klay's a good on-ball defender. They made their comeback to take a one-point lead with 2 minutes and 15 seconds, and then they stopped doing it.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I also don't understand why Doc, his starting lineups are a bit curious to me. If you've got guys like Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams on your bench, who tend to be their main contributors, why aren't those guys starting? Like, I'm looking at the box score, and you've got Green, Gallinari, Beverly, Shamet, and I don't know what the hell this dude's name is. Gilgeous Alexander. Just by position, Doc Rivers is running out three point guards, a small forward, and a power forward to play as starters to play the Golden State Warriors. I don't understand that mindset. You're literally leaving Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell on the bench to start a game and dig yourself a hole. That doesn't make sense.
But Gallinari got him off to a good start. And the other thing is,
I mean, but I get him starting.
But the other thing is, and a lot of coaches believe in this, is they want to have a distinct advantage with their second unit. They know that when those two guys come in with whatever Golden State comes in with their second unit, that they are going to have a sizable advantage.
But that doesn't make sense if you're in a hole. If you're constantly getting put into a hole because your best players are on your bench to start a game. Now you got those guys, all they're doing is catching you back up.
But the other thing that comes into play too, and a lot of things, you think about this, Mike D'Antoni was a staunch guy of doing the same thing for a long time with Eric Gordon, and he was adamant that he should come off the bench, and then he finally went to a smaller lineup. But the other thing is...
Oh, go ahead.
The other thing is that sometimes there's not enough ball to go around. So in the case of the Rockets too, they felt like with Paul and Harden on the floor until they take one of those guys out, Eric Gordon wasn't going to be getting the looks or have the ball the way that he wanted him to either. And with the Clippers, because you know Gallinari is going to want to get his shots. You know that, you know, when they get going, to your point, when they start trying to get going offensively, there are guys that are going to want and expect to have the ball. When Lou Williams comes into the game, he has to have the ball.
See, so I respect everything you just said. I don't believe a single word of it. Because if that were the case, then the Warriors wouldn't be starting five All-Stars. They would have two of them coming off the bench because there's not enough ball to go around. There's plenty of ball to go around, which is why Eric Gordon is in the lineup now.
Okay, I'm saying when you asked why would Doc Rivers do this, I said there's some coaches that believe that you can't have too much offense in the lineup at one time. I'm not saying right, wrong, or indifferent, but I'm saying there are coaches that believe that philosophy. And I used the example for the longest time that D'Antoni wanted Eric Gordon to be a six-man.
Right, and then he realized that having Eric Gordon was one of his best five players on the bench doesn't make sense. So that's why he starts now. He's better to start the game with full-powered offense. And then he does his rotations accordingly. And, you know, some of it had to do, obviously, in this series. D'Antoni said after the press conference or after the game during the press conference that basically Eric Gordon just he shadowed Williams. He shadowed
Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, Mitchell, excuse me. That was it, like, minute for minute, basically. But still, Gordon has been a starter. And that's what I just don't understand. You've got two guys that as starters that one of them gave you starter minutes and got you 6 points as a point guard, but you've got Lou Williams on the bench who played 34 minutes and gave you 33 points.
But you got to have balance because he's got such a young team. One of the reasons why they think the way they do about putting all the offense on the starting lineup is you don't want to have such a weak second unit that you put these guys out there and they get spent or they get winded, and when they come out, your second unit's going to get blasted because really coming off their bench, they got nothing other than those two guys.
I mean, that makes sense. I don't know. I feel like you're digging yourself a hole if you don't have your... And Lou Williams is basically having to... Now, it reminds me a little bit. In fact, I thought about it last night. It doesn't matter who starts the game. It matters who ends the game. And obviously, Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams are on the court to end the game. This kind of like reminds me of Sam Cassell.
And Kenny Smith, right?
Yeah, when Cassell never started the game, that was always Kenny Smith's thing. But Smith was rarely in at the final few 4 or 5 minutes of the game. It was always Sam Cassell because he was the better player at the time. So I understand that, but I want my best five players on the court to start the game, especially against the Warriors team who's running out 4 or 5 all-stars every time.
Yeah, it's just a difference in coach's philosophy. But last night you weren't in the hole, though.
Yeah, but your point about depth does make sense from the standpoint of, hey, look, if three of my five guys are starters and can keep us close, then we feel like the advantage is big enough with the second unit that we can make up the deficit that maybe those starters, the other two put us in, and then and get some more back. And, I mean, it kind of shows that. You're right. It was 41-37 in this game after quarter one for the Warriors, and then 34-22 in the second quarter. So there's that time in between there where the Warriors aren't deep this year. They're not a very deep team.
There was no defense at all when they were looking at, I think Chris Webber said it, with half the second quarter still to play, both teams were like in the 50s going, this could get crazy. Like all-star game numbers with the way they were scoring points.
It was 71-63 at the half.
Yeah. That's a boatload of points.
Yeah, that's stupid. That is way too many points. You know what there's not way too much of? Cash back in your pocket. There's not way too much of that. And you get plenty of it if you have GetUpside. Completely free to download. It is an app in the App Store. You can get it from Google Play. You can get it in iTunes. It's all one word, so search for it. GetUpside. And when you download it, put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That's going to get you extra savings on your first fill-up at the pump. I love this app, man. I don't understand why anyone wouldn't use this app. It's completely free to download. It's completely free to use. There's no catch, no strings attached. When you get the cash back, that's your cash back. These businesses are offering it to you. Why wouldn't you use this? That doesn't make sense. Download GetUpside, put in promo code Barry, and then use their map feature and find stuff around you, whether it's gas stations that give you up to 25% cash or 25 cents a gallon cash back, I should say, or whether it's restaurants that give you up to 35% cash back. Now, look, I'm no math whiz, guys, but if you're getting 25%, let's say, and you do that 4 times in a week, that's a free meal. Don't leave money at the table. Don't leave money at the pump. Download GetUpside. Put in promo code Barry. Get that extra savings and that cash back, and thank me later.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right. Swear to God. 2019, zero tolerance policy, people.
Someone corrected your spelling again?
PX Rock 713. Enjoy being blocked, home slice. I don't need you to correct a typo. A typo. It's not like I used the wrong there, or the wrong two. Obviously, I meant sign, and my typing, it said sing, S-I-N-G and not S-I-G-N. Bro, you know that sign says be someone? Just get somewhere. What grown-ass person goes online to correct people's spelling? A typo, no less. Not just poor spelling, a typo. Good Lord, that is lame. You're blocked. Get out of here. No. Mutombo finger wag. You're out.
Did you see the guy last week, where they got Dikembe to actually show the actual finger wag?
Mm-mm.
Where he was like, there's no wrist. It's all in the finger. The hand itself doesn't move.
He was breaking it
and
down?
His finger is like the length of a number, you know, like a pencil. And he's like showing how you've got to just get the joint of the finger to go back and forth side to
side.
That's
funny.
Funny stuff. That was the game that he and Iverson were sitting courtside. One other NBA note, Tim McMahon, who is the NBA ESPN reporter that covers the Rockets, was basically based in Dallas a long time too. He's reporting the Rockets are going to travel to the Bay Area tomorrow to give themselves the best chance to be prepared for a potential game one versus the Warriors on Sunday. The Rockets intend no disrespect to the Clippers, but they want to make sure they adjust to Pacific Coast time and will practice Saturday at the Oracle. God forbid the Clips do what everybody says can't be done, because then they got to haul ass back to Houston where they would have home court advantage.
Would there be any more bulletin board material needed? Maybe that's what this is. Maybe it's the Rockets
motivating the Clippers.
Please beat them. Please. Although, look, be careful what you wish for. Clippers gave the Rockets absolute hell.
Did they?
Yeah.
Early in the season when they didn't have the right roster together.
I'm not saying that it wasn't like the Rockets can't beat the Clippers. What I'm just saying is they're going to, just like with the Warriors, they're going to make you work for every single point. Pat Beverly is going to try to get James Harden ejected.
Let me just say something. You want one guy that is going to try and motivate the entire locker room. He's going to be so juiced up for that.
That's what I'm saying. I'm suggesting that you don't want to face them just because it's not that you can't advance. They're just going to make it a living hell. You thought the Jazz was bad to play against? Oh, my God. You got a bunch of dudes over there that got traded from your team and hate you, hate your GM, and they're all probably gone because Harden wanted Paul and the team wanted Paul. And so not only do they hate Harden, not only do they hate Paul on both sides, and it's the GM. Oh, you don't want that. You really don't want that smoke, I don't believe.
Well, you remember that when Lou Williams, when they had the success early on, said, I think that the Rockets overpaid and made, you know, big mistakes. And they're aware of it. And again, if those three guys need any further motivation than to play their old team and the team that gave up on them so that they could get Chris Paul and supposedly get better, they're going to be juiced up.
That would just be so funny if that's what the Rockets PR staff comes up with. Well, we're just trying to motivate the Clippers. You're just being jerks. you're just being jerks.
I mean, and look, I'm trying to verify it that they're actually going to go through
with this. I hope that's not true.
But yeah, I just don't think it would be a wise move. And look, Chris Paul, he's been on West Coast time before and he knows the area and everything like that. I could see if there was a reason. But again, there's nothing cut and dry that says you're going to play the Warriors. And by the way, you will have home court if it's the Clippers. I could see it. I could see it if you didn't have home court. Either you're going to be in L.A. or you're going to be in Oakland.
Right.
So one way or another, you're going to be in California. So you do it. But if you got to hightail your ass back to Houston because the upset happens, that's not exactly being prepared.
I love my Rockets, and I hope they go all the way to the final and win a championship. But I really kind of want that to happen now. I want them to have to come back. Here's what I want. I think it would just be hilarious if the Clippers win Game 6 and force the Game 7. Because the pucker factor in the Rockets' travel room. Oh, my God. Now they're going to be like, uh-oh. Guys, we got to have standby plans. We can't just be caught and they mess around and lose this series.
Now, I can tell you this.
God, that would be amazing.
This would never happen with Les Alexander.
He wouldn't do it?
Ain't no way. He ain't spending that money for that length of time to take the chance. Even if there's a mild chance that it couldn't happen.
Not a gambling
happen,
man.
He ain't picking up that tab for the hotel and all the other stuff.
I mean, the current owner owns a casino, bit of a gambler. He's probably like, you know what? I like our odds. No, it'll be the Warriors. Is it going to be the Warriors in 6 or is it going to be the Warriors in 7?
That's like I just told AJ. I mean, sure, it's the odds are in the favor that it's going to be Rockets Warriors, but we all thought that was going to happen last night too.
Right.
So stranger things have happened, and they already have last night. So, you know, I can't believe they're going to do that.
Somebody said, "Damn, Barry, all he did was correct you, not curse you out. You really had to block him over that." Yeah, maybe you didn't get the memo, but I said on January 1st, the 2019 zero tolerance policy. I'm a grown ass man. If I misspell something, I misspell something. I don't need another grown ass man or woman to point out a mistake I made on the internet. I ain't got time for that. And that I swore, even if my mom corrects my spelling, she's getting that block.
I blocked your ass for calling me out about misspelling Wesley. I blocked your ass.
Okay. That's fine. You should have.
Punk bitch.
Actually, I didn't point it out.
Punk
he did.
It's just been mentioned.
He did. He pointed it out. So block him, not me.
No, he pointed it out, and then
I
you
let
go,
you know,
it's pointing at you, producer Nick, and you tagged me.
I said, yeah.
Yeah, so I should block your ass.
Blame Nick. I just pointed out who made the misspelling. Yeah. I didn't point out what it was.
You have a knack for that.
What?
Not completely calling him out, but doing enough
just
damage.
Just got to walk around the edge.
Until you did the she. It could be either one. That's where you kind of lost the momentum that you had.
That was my bad a little bit. Yeah. And then somebody said, how come when Barry gets mad, he starts clapping like a female hood rat?
Jeez.
That's hilarious.
A female hood rat. As if that was a species.
I don't think you are quite as hip as you think you are on internet on how stuff happens on the internet.
You got called a female hood rat.
Yeah, I'm the one that read it, you dumbass.
That's hilarious.
You, like, do you think I tried to sneak that,
so
by and it didn't happen?
Hey,
no.
Like, I don't know if you know this, but dudes use the clap thing on the internet all the time. But you know what? Live in your little fantasy world, Texter. Live in your little fantasy world. You can get the block, too.
Okay, can idiot. You know what's funny? So the Astros just sent out a picture of the roof at Minute Maid, and it said, tonight's at blah, 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 roof report, open.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't it be great if someone put Be Someone on top of that bad boy?
That would be
now,
pretty
that
dope.
Would be a challenging project, but if you could do it while the roof is open and it said Be Someone right there, like the overpass on 45, that'd be badass.
You know, if the Astros were smart, they would do something
that'd
like
be pretty
that.
Cool.
They would do something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
That would be dope.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's a good idea, Joel.
The minute that I saw that, the we tweet from the Astros, yeah. I was like, yeah, you can they put Be Someone that. On that thing.
They need to do that.
That'd be pretty neat. Do you want to get this?
Yeah, sure.
Sean wants to talk about the bench.
What is that?
The bench of the Rockets.
Oh,
I thought it was Lance and John.
Yeah.
No. For starters, I just have to say that you guys are like the best show out there. You're an amazing palate cleanser when you have a really crap day. So thank you guys every day.
Thanks, Sean. I appreciate that, man.
Secondly, actually, it makes sense using your people in the best roles. Kind of like having those, what are they doing like with Tampa where they're putting a reliever in for the first inning or two?
Yeah, they don't go with a starter, they go with an opener.
Yeah, openers.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you do something like that to put your people in the best roles? I mean, it makes perfect sense. I mean, coming as a stand-up comic, Barry, if you're opening up for somebody, that's why you have openers, and that's why you have the main event. You got to put the people in the right spot. That's why you got to open up for Joel every day. See ya.
I didn't get the last part.
I didn't either. But
I didn't tell if that was a shot at me or a shot at you.
I thought it was a shot at me initially.
I'm not sure who that was a shot at.
All right.
Who cares?
He ran away so quickly. That's why you get on. Like, just, it's okay if you hang on the line. You could have made your joke, and at least we had questions. Who was that a shot at, me or Joel? Then the right person would know to respond, because I'm going to sit here and respond, and then it wasn't even directed at me, and I should have been praising you for tearing down Joel. And then that would make no sense. So
that's nice. So I have an explanation.
Okay.
From the Tillman Fertitta's camp, otherwise known as the Rockets. The bottom line is, if the team would wait and see what the Warriors do, and if they would go on and win Friday, and then the Rockets would travel Saturday, Game 1 is scheduled right now for 12:30 Sunday. No matter what. And that would mean Saturday travel and try to get a practice in and rush to get ready for an early tip time, West Coast time on Sunday. Instead, they go early, and if it goes to 7, they rest and they wait. And if the Clippers win, you go home and everything's already set up practice-wise and otherwise. You don't have to find facilities and whatever.
Yeah, you're still going West Coast to Central Time after you've been there for how many days on the body clock?
Yeah.
No, that's not the smartest thing, but I guess
you're playing
I
the Clippers.
I understand.
I understand why they're doing it too. Yeah. It makes sense.
Okay.
So just trying to provide answers for you peeps as we roll forward. So we got 2 hours in the book. Still got an hour to go of the big show. So we got plenty more to get to. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, you can give us a call. We're kicking around a lot of different topics as we get ready for the draft tonight in round one. In primetime, by the way, on TV. But, of course, your Astros with a big one tonight to open up a series against the Indians. It's Garrett Cole and the hated Trevor Bauer. That should be good as well. Final 60 minutes on the clock when we come back right here on ESPN 97.5.